Have you ever wondered how a pet photographer started their business right before the pandemic through social media with free organic growth? Well, I am glad that you are here today with me for this conversation. Today joining me, I have Joy D'Argent. She is a pet photographer, specifically an all-season dog photographer located up in Alberta, Canada. And we have such a great conversation, and I'm so excited for you to be a fly on the wall when we discuss things like starting a business with social media, how organic growth really translated into a business, and how she loves to sell wall art and serve her clients, and the importance of standing out and being different and having art that looks different from everybody else in your marketplace. We cover so many things on this podcast, and it's really, really a great conversation. And here's the thing. Sometimes I don't tell you that the best part of our conversations happens with my guests after we actually stop recording. So what I've started doing is kept the recording going so that we can share some of these really casual conversations that we have after the podcast. And you can see what it's like behind the scenes a little bit, but also get some more transparent conversations that you wouldn't be open to any other time. So be sure you listen to the very end, past the ad, past the recorded music, and hear what Joy and I talked about after this podcast was recorded, specifically about imposter syndrome. So with all that said, I'm glad you're here. Welcome to the Focal Points Podcast. Do you struggle with all things you need to run your photography business on the day-to-day? You're not alone. And you're in the right place. You're listening to Focal Points. We're an Enphoto podcast hosted by Dori Howell, and we are here to help you create a business that you love. Well, welcome to the Focal Points podcast. I am joined here today by Joy from Pup Tent Photography. So Joy, welcome today. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks. I'm really excited about being here.
Well, I know that we're going to have a great conversation, and this is especially going to be relevant to pet photographers who are looking to maybe add more wall art to their selections for their clients. So we're going to dive into that a little bit. But before we do, Joy, can you maybe give us a little bit of a history, how you got into photography and then how that settled on pet photography?
Sure. So I am a zoologist, studied here at Calgary at the U of C. And I took some time off to raise my son, and I wanted to stay at home with him. So once he was old enough and out of school, I said, now it's time for me. But how am I going to build that? You know, you tend to focus on your kids and you don't focus on yourself and you don't focus on what kind of a goal will I have after this? You just more or less focus on getting through it. With grace.
Yes.
With grace.
Yes. As a mom of a 16-year-old girl, I can definitely relate to the fact that there are days where it's just like, we just got to get through this. We're going to make it. We just got to get through it. So yep. I get it.
So then I had a zoology degree, and I did some field work, and I thought, well, you know, I don't think that's going to work. I'd always loved photography. I started with my own dog and taking photos of my own dog, and I made up an Instagram profile for him and that sort of took off. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to try and build my own business as a pet photographer. And in Calgary here, I started thinking about pets and I really wanted to link in the outdoors because I'm very outdoorsy. And I decided that I think my focus is better on dogs.
Okay.
Because I have almost zero experience with horses.
Okay.
Cats like to stay indoors. And so I said, yeah, I'm going to tie in my own dog's, you know, Instagram account following and work into my own business.
I love it. I love it. That's so great. And that's, you know, as women who have already raised kids and have kids that are a little bit older, it's always nice to hear how someone took what they did and they're not, no offense to our 22-year-old photographers because we love them so much, but that is not where I sit and that's not where you sit. So hearing how someone was a stay-at-home mom and did do that, but took their passions, because obviously you had a passion for animals with your degree, right? And you had that background, but then you were able to decide, okay, well, I want to be outside. And so you had two choices pretty much. You had dogs or horses. And because I don't hear of a lot of like goat photographers and things like that, right?
I did that too.
Oh, you did?
I did.
And cats are usually more studio type subjects. So when was the light switch where you were taking pictures of your own dog or that type of thing where you thought, I could really do something with this? Did you ever have that light bulb moment?
It was more of an evolution into the idea.
Okay.
And honestly, Dory, the problem I had the most was getting over performance anxiety and feeling very much like an imposter. You know, feeling that how am I going to show people that I love to do this without being in their face about it? How am I going to say I'm putting this in air quotes, a little bit older. And yet I still am a photographer that they would want. So that was the most difficult stumbling block. But once I had sort of evolved into that and done a few sessions, you know, and listened to a lot of podcasts, I said, you know what, I'm okay.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
Yeah. It's hard. I think as we all get older, you know, we have so much experience and we've done so much learning, but we still deal with the imposter syndrome. We still deal with the feelings of, am I really good enough to do this? I'm in this 15 years. How long have you been in business now?
Well, I started this in 2019.
So pretty fresh.
COVID, fresh. Right? As I started.
Yeah, but that's okay. But no matter how long you've been in business, 15 years versus 4 years or whatever, everyone has these feelings of not feeling like they're ready, not feeling like their images are perfect enough, not feeling like people are going to accept us as we are. Those are all universal feelings that I think everyone can relate to. So as you're going through your journey and you decide, okay, I'm going to focus on pets or I'm going to focus on dogs and I'm going to focus on them outside. How did you start developing a clientele for this? How did the ball get rolling with your business? What did you do?
Well, I had my dog Park at the Pomsky. Yes. I had there's a little note for him. I had his following.
Yeah.
So I started kind of with that, letting people know that I was going to go into the dog photography industry. Started really focusing on Facebook, letting people know what I was doing, what I was trying to do, working in Instagram, of course. Then it was more finding my way. You try a little bit of this and you try a little bit of that, and you really wouldn't know how to focus your efforts and what platform to focus your efforts on. So it became some trial and error. And a lot of SEO research.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Isn't that interesting, though? So I'm going to fast forward a little bit because you were able to build your business on social media after the first social media boom and also do it through three and a half years of a worldwide pandemic, which is fabulous. But how did you move from wanting to start this business and then move into wanting to offer really great products for your clients? And spoiler alert, I know the answer to this, and I'll share it with everybody now, is that your favorite thing to offer is wall art. And that's what you love to sell. So how did that evolution take place?
When you're first starting to get into your own photography business, the most important thing I found was to be genuine and to really embrace what you wanted to do and what you were best at would flow together. That was one of the most important things I found that sort of launched me forward. So my photography is outdoor. So it's outdoor four season, which is a little bit different from the other photographers.
So you just said you're, let's remind everybody, you're located in Calgary, Canada. And you just said four season outdoor photography. So you are out there in the, like you take the dogs out, your clients out, they want their dog in the snow on those cold days. You're the lady to call for that, right?
You bet. Because there's so much beauty in winter. There is so much beauty. And I want to show people and tell them about, you know, you take your dog out in the winter and they've got maybe a sweater on. Mm-hmm. That's great. If you take a dog with a sweater on and you've got, you know, snow and you've got spruce trees and you've got frost, absolutely gorgeous. So the potential for photography is huge. Mm-hmm. And I tend to be very outdoorsy myself. Mm-hmm. My dogs are husky mixes. So okay. I'm out to about minus 30.
And is that Fahrenheit?
Minus 30 Celsius, which is getting pretty close to,
you know. Gracious.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's gear that I know to wear from being outdoorsy anyway. So it's mm-hmm. layers. It's parka. It's down. Mm-hmm. It's heated socks. It's.
I didn't know there was such a thing as heated socks.
Oh, we'll have a conversation about that sometime. There is heated everything that you can use mm-hmm. to your benefit.
Yeah.
So even though the clients, don't have to be, you know, rigged out as much as me, but when I'm lying on my stomach or, actually physically in 2 feet of snow, it's really important I stay warm.
Mm-hmm.
So that was what I'm trying to do is say, four seasons. Yeah. So yes, you'd get the typical spring, you know, with the blossoms, the, you know, summer with the water photos, the, mm-hmm. you know, fall with the gorgeous colors.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we not adding winter?
Yeah. I love that. And have you had anybody come to you and do like the same setting with their pet in all four seasons? Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I love that. As a matter of fact, what you're looking at, Dory, behind me.
Yes.
Is wall art of my first four season dog.
Okay.
Other than my own dog.
Right. Right.
And I absolutely love the opportunity to say to people, you can have a photo of your dog in all four seasons.
Mm-hmm.
You can choose your favorite, or you can even have all four images.
Yeah. I would love to see that on the wall. Love, like, and I used to, when I was doing family photography, for some of my favorite clients, I would say on snowy days, if you can get here, like, because I have a setting in my front yard that works well for photos. If you can get here, we will have a session and just throw on your snow gear. And I have one person took me up on it. And I also did a baby in the snow, a newborn baby in the snow. And so I have some family pictures and they built a snowman. It was just a super fun little session for them. And then a newborn once, if you walk outside my studio, there's about 15 feet, there's some trees and everything. Mm-hmm. And it had snowed the night before. And I put the heating blankets underneath the baby. I mean, the baby was so warm. She didn't know what happened. And then we carried her out there, covered up. I got everything set up before we brought her out, set her down. We were maybe outside for a minute. And those are some of my favorite newborn pictures of being out in the snow. So I get it.
The potential is huge.
Mm-hmm.
It's just getting people to realize that, especially the outdoorsy type, if you're taking your dogs out anyway, if you're taking them to the mountains during winter,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, you need a photo session.
Yeah.
Of your dogs out in the snow.
Right.
And they love it. Well, you know.
Most of them do.
Maybe not the smaller breeds, but, you know, I've done Chihuahuas in the snow.
Get out.
And they have the cutest little sweaters.
Oh, yeah.
And they have the cutest little attitudes.
Yeah.
That's what you capture.
Well, yeah. You have to have, like on the smaller breeds especially, you have to have the cute little outfits. You have to plan for the snow outfits, right?
Absolutely.
I love it.
Yes.
So you take them out in the snow, you take them out in all the seasons, and then they come around and they're choosing their pictures and you want to sell them wall art because you see the beauty in wall art and appreciate that. And I do too. I am a big picture on the wall type of person. That's how I decorate my home. I want big pictures on the wall. When I take my daughter out, I'm looking for that one picture that I can blow up big. And that's what I communicate to my clients. How have you found being able to promote wall art with your clients without feeling too pushy or salesy? How do you approach that?
Well, it took me a while to find out how to address the Calgary market mm-hmm. and the outdoor market mm-hmm. into looking at wall art because most people still think of what they want on their phones and what they want to do with the digitals. So they want to take them to, you know, a mainstream, you know, photography service and have them made into different things and have them on their phone. So I'm trying to show them that they really could benefit from and love seeing their photo every single day on their wall.
Yeah.
Rather than counting on a mobile device to actually show them this. And, you know, you think about a mobile device picture, it's pretty small. So wall art is just a natural for my photography because I really love the details. I love the details of the leaves, the trees, the snow. I love putting the dog in the natural environment and seeing what happens. And that means details. And I love seeing the details of the fur, the real details. So I'll do those profiles that are super close. And anyway, all the colors, all the detail, all the vivid beauty, it transforms beautifully into wall art.
Yeah, it does. And I'm the same way when you're looking at, you know, a child's eyelashes or that, you know, those types of things. When I was doing newborn portraiture, I was always like, I want the eyelashes. I want the flakes of the skin. I want all those things. And you, some of those things can be picked up on a small little picture, but there's just something about walking into a room, like with the image that you have behind you. You said that was one of your samples that you take to the, let's see, the craft fairs, right?
To dog markets.
To dog markets. Okay. And so seeing something big, and it's all, I love when a client has trusted me enough, I'm like, listen, you're going to love this because I love this. And I show them samples of these big wall portraits. And I love when they get it. And then like, sometimes it takes that long for that light to go off from the big, oh, I love this. And they'll never go back to small images on their wall again. They're never going to think an 8x10 is a large picture in their house again. That used to always kill me. Oh, well, just going to put some 8x10s on the wall. I'm like, no, you need them big. Trust me, you need them big. So I mentioned the dog shows, the dog fairs that you go to. So how do you, how are you getting clients through those? And what do you take with you to show off what you want to sell them?
Well, this was one of the things I learned from listening to your podcasts was there's still a few things I can do to show people better than what I'm doing right now. So you had mentioned taking along some samples with you when you have an in-person sales meeting. That I don't do, but I will. But I have to be very careful because the larger pictures are glass framed. So it is very, it's very difficult to kind of work around that without walking into Starbucks and, you know, having a, you know, 34x22
and
you're struggling
picture.
With it.
Right.
So maybe we'll chat about that sometime too.
How you can do that.
But so that's kind of a challenge. So there are some things I can do to show this off better. But what I have found is successful is going to the pet-based markets, especially dog markets here in Calgary. So the number one dog breed here in Calgary is a lab.
And in America in the US, I believe too.
I have lab photos. I make sure there is, you know, the favorite breeds on display. But I do take the larger pieces framed, simple black frame. I don't want any kind of framing taste to interfere with what I'm trying to show. So simple black frame, large. My 34x22 is the largest piece, but it may not be going forward. So I have found that larger pieces and fewer make a better impact than smaller pieces and more of them.
And a lot. And also I found like even when I'm selling my albums and my and wall portrait and everything in everything that I offer, I all the samples that I have are always one size larger than I want them to buy. So like for my albums, I could take a 12x12 album and because I know that they're going to look at this and they're like, oh, that's a little a little too big. Let's go one size down. But once you show them an 8x8 album, they're going to think that's fine. And it's harder to tell them that they're going to really enjoy that 10x10 size. And it's not even a matter of trying to sell it, quote unquote, sell it to them. It's just a matter of, you know, how your products are supposed to be enjoyed. And I think that's one thing that photographers have a hard time stepping into, is the fact that they are the expert. You are the expert. You know how your portraits of the pets are going to look best in the medium that you sell them in. So your clients are looking to you for guidance, and it's perfectly okay for you to say, listen, this is a portrait that would look great or should be shown at this size. Now, they don't have to take your advice for it. You're just offering your professional opinion, but they hired you to be the professional. So put those suggestions out there, not to have a bigger sale, not to sell them anything that they don't want. But you know, like, I'm looking at that picture behind you. There's no other size that I could think that that should be shown in. The way that the orientation is, the spacing around the dog, how do you see the water at the bottom? All of those things are so important. And if it was smaller, it just wouldn't have the impact.
Yeah.
So your clients are trusting you to do that. And now let's listen to a word from our sponsor at Enphoto. Are you tired of generic photo albums that don't do your beautiful images justice? Look no further than Enphoto's range of handcrafted albums made with the finest materials. These albums are a perfect way to showcase your beautiful photos that truly captures how gorgeous they actually are. And the best part is that as a listener of the Focal Points podcast, you can get a 75% discount off your sample album by signing up for an account using the link in our show notes. Visit Focal Points Podcast today. Go to that link, sign up for an account, and start showing off your work in a beautiful, beautiful way. So what exactly is a dog market? Is that like a craft fair that you might see where all the people just gather and there's different vendors and stalls?
Yes, it is. Dog markets are huge here in Calgary. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to go to too many. So, yeah. Especially because I have to transport this,
yeah,
you know,
and she says this, that's the big, what size is that behind you, Joy?
So that's the 34 by 22.
So it's a 34 by 22 glass framed portrait.
Yes.
And I do think you make a very valid point when you're wanting to show wall art and you're hauling it around. If you're hauling around images that are framed with glass, you need to be very careful. You just have to take, that's just one other thing to take into consideration of how you pack it, how you present it, where it's going to be displayed, all of those different things. We know samples get beat up, like the frames might get dinged or the corners might get a little bit dented or whatever. And that's just part of having samples, especially when you're hauling them around. But glass fronted images are something you do have to just be very careful with. So yeah, so you take that.
So they, what you do is have a 10-foot booth.
Okay.
So a 10 by 10.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a tent. And so it's a tent 10 by 10.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very easy to show off this art when you get, say, 4 or 5 easels.
Yeah.
And okay. Of course, you get the telescoping easels.
Mm-hmm.
So they're packed up,
mm-hmm.
easy to unpack them.
Yeah.
Easy to put your art on them.
Yes.
You know, you've anchored down the legs of the tent, so nothing's going to happen. Although I did have one gust of wind come up, and so now I need another large piece of glass for my next
part.
But yeah, it's not that bad of a process.
Yeah.
It's fairly easy, but anyway, it's the visual impact.
Okay, great.
So in dog markets, you get a lot of people who are selling collars, bandanas, you know, that type of thing. But generally, their products are very small.
Mm-hmm.
So as people pass by, they almost have to really look to see what you're selling.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm lucky because when people come past my booth,
mm-hmm.
it's pretty clear what I have to offer.
Yeah. Yeah. And do you have a sign with your company name there? And then do you have a way of collecting, mm-hmm. like, do you have an offer that you give the people that come to the market? Do you have a way of collecting names for your email list. How are you turning that into inquiries?
So all of the above.
Okay.
So we found the best thing to do was to have a market offer.
Okay.
But we also encourage people to enter the giveaway.
Yes.
The giveaways for a session, which is pretty huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
A full session. And sometimes I put in an 8x10 as well.
Mm-hmm.
But that definitely motivates people to sign up.
Mm-hmm.
And there you go. You've got your email list.
Yeah. I love that.
I don't get too many people unsubscribing. So it shows that the people that came in saw what they saw something, they liked it, and they decided, yes, I do want to follow her, even if I don't want to purchase right now.
Why not?
So that was good. What other question did you ask me? The email, the giveaway.
Yeah. So the giveaway, more of like, how do you turn? So you're following a process that I follow very closely. So when you have all these images on display in these markets or craft fairs or wherever you're choosing to go to a community event, you need to have a way to continue the conversation past that day. So you need to be collecting information. You can't trust that people are going to scan your QR code, which you can have it up to get on your list or enter the contest or that type of thing. That's very passive. So I'm like, okay, how is it a way that I can get the information so I'm in control of reaching out and continuing that conversation versus them coming to me? Because life moves fast and people forget, right?
Yes.
So I will do a giveaway. I will do an email sign up. I will try and connect with as many people as I can, but I also don't want people to feel obligated that they have to sit and talk to me for 10 minutes when they might want to go see the callers down the road, right? Or like for me, it was baby wraps down the road or whatever, who was selling. So collecting that information is really important. And I find really interesting with my email list is the fact that I started my email list when I was doing newborn photography. And I got most of my email leads when I was shooting newborns. When I changed niches into headshot and commercial branding photography, I still use my same list and I get so few unsubscribes from that. Mm-hmm. People still want to hear from me. People still want to know what's going on. And it's a couple thousand people. So keeping that email list is very important to me. But email is such a powerful thing. I believe I've talked about it in the podcast and we'll probably be talking about it more next year. How often do you email your list?
I've got a newsletter.
A newsletter, okay.
That comes out every change of season.
Okay.
Being the seasonal dog photographer.
Yeah.
I also, in that newsletter, I also talk about, you know, watch for these kind of projects to come up in the next season.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a long email newsletter, just enough to, you know, just be conversational, maybe have a link to something I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that comes out then. I do have a blog as well on my website. So I will, you know, do the blog probably every month.
Yeah.
Let people know. It's just something interesting, something I want to highlight, an adventure that went well, an adventure that didn't go well, you know, whatever I feel would be kind of fun to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. So for those of you listening who are talking about email lists and getting out your email marketing, we've touched on so many things today that we could expand on. I just want to touch on this really quick, is the fact that, you know, you hear this from Joy. She's emailing her people a newsletter 4 times a year. Anybody can send out an email 4 times a year. And then there's certain things in between there, but it's not necessarily a set schedule or anything like that. It's whenever she feels led to send that out. So I would challenge anyone, you know, in this new year that if you haven't started your email list, even if there's only 5 people on it, start your email list, start collecting your list. And it doesn't have to be something where you send an email every week, because I don't do that. People on my email list will be like, Dory, we haven't heard from you for a month. Yeah, I know. You know, life is busy, but here's the blogs. Here's everything I've been working on. Take a look. But it's so important to own that list and not leave it up to the social media platforms to get the word out about what you're doing, which is great. Well, Joy, I appreciate your time here so much. And there are so many little golden nuggets in here that we absolutely could have expanded on. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate you just bouncing around with me and touching on all these things. How can people find your business and take a look at what you're doing on social and connect with you?
Well, I'm glad you asked about socials because I'm everywhere. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. I'm on TikTok.
Yeah.
But, you know, not a lot.
Okay.
You know, you can find some things on Pinterest as well.
Yeah.
I have a blog on my website, which is pupptentphotography.com. Mm-hmm. And I love to chat with people.
I love it.
You know, I have a contact list, of course, on my website. Mm-hmm. And if you want to talk about anything or have any questions, you know, sure, send me a line. Yes. And, you know, I'd love to chat.
Yeah, Joy would love to chat with you. She is so much fun to talk to. So we will have links to all those socials and your website on the focalpointspodcast.com show notes page. And any place where you're listening to this, if they allow clickable links underneath the actual podcast on your phone, whether it's Spotify, Apple, some of them allow clickable links, some of them don't. But those will all be listed that you'll be able to find those there as well. But it's Pup Tent Photography. It used to be, if you know, if you're ever camping, a pop-up tent, but it's Pup Tent. So Joy, thank you so much for joining me here today. It's been a pleasure.
It was so much fun, Dory. Thanks a lot for taking the time.
You're welcome. Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget to head over to the show notes page at blog.enphoto.com/podcast. That's blog.enphoto.com/podcast. Get the download for this program and link to a wonderful, wonderful 75% off special for your first sample order from Enphoto. You don't want to miss it.
There's so many things that I can learn from, you know, going back with your, you know, your podcasts, your YouTubes. There's so many things that I realized I could add in, yeah, which is amazing, because, yeah, you know, you're the type of person that people want to listen to.
Oh, that's kind. Thank you.
So you make it very easy to listen to you. You're very conversational. You're no one feels like they're being preached to.
Yeah.
About, you know, especially this is the way you have to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I hate the idea that photographers seem to, when they start listening to certain people, that there's only one way of building your business and there's only one way of doing things, which goes completely against the idea of the fact that we're creative beings and mm-hmm. we should be able to do things differently because we're called to do things differently. We don't want to fall in line and be in step with everyone else. Create something that is unique to you. And mm-hmm. I hate it when I see people like, you have to do it this way, or when you can tell that photographers have felt shamed or been talked down to, and they're scared mm-hmm. to voice their opinion of wanting to try something different, and they stop taking risks, I think is something yes. that is really, well, they want the guarantee, they want the golden nugget that's going to guarantee them success or inquiries mm-hmm. or everything. And that just doesn't exist. And I struggle with that sometimes, you know?
When I started this, I did, you know, some dog photography, learning about these techniques and that. And the thing I did wrong, Dory, was I entered a contest. Mm. And if you have a different style, which is what I was trying to embrace, so mm-hmm. I don't take the dog and blur everything and yes. you just have this dog jumping and, you know, everything's blur. I don't do that. I like to take more of an artistic approach mm-hmm. that uses composition, but also uses the environment. Mm-hmm. That's very different.
Yeah.
So I entered a competition with that type of image. It didn't even make the first cut. And that was so discouraging. It was so discouraging because people are being taught, if you're a dog photographer, you must bokeh the background. Mm-hmm. You must do this. You must do that. You must not have anything that distracts from the dog.
Right.
But I don't look at it that way. Mm-hmm. I say, I want to include those tiny flowers mm-hmm. and I want them in focus around the dog, or I want this, or I want that, or I want this in the background and I want it to slightly show. Mm-hmm. That's very different.
Yeah. You want to, you're wanting to show the whole scene and not just,
yes.
not just a dog with a blur around it.
Yes.
And there's a time and a place for that, if that's someone's mm-hmm. style, but you wanted to show something different with your art. And I can absolutely see. I think contests can be great, but they can be so damaging too because they're so subjective. And if you don't go into it with the right attitude and the right frame of mind of realizing, you know, they may not love it, but that doesn't mean it's bad. That doesn't mean I should close up shop. It just means that I didn't give them what they were looking for. That's all it is. So that's always discouraging when you hear stories like that.
That was something I didn't mention, but that was, you know, the imposter syndrome part is that when you have a different style as well, it's really important to stay on your own path. Mm-hmm. Even if, because what's different, like now I'm discovering what's different is what makes people interested in my sales. So something exactly. like this is what makes people interested in this. What makes people say, I love that. Mm-hmm. I want that. Mm-hmm. But in the beginning, being different was something that was really discouraged.
Yeah. It is. It's discouraged in all genres in photography, mm-hmm. being a little bit different because there's the popular style. And if you choose to do something different, then you need to be, if you're going to put yourself out there, especially in the photography community, you need to be strong enough to know that not, it's going to get some pushback because not everyone's going to like it. And that's okay. And it's just the same thing, you know, like, you know, going through middle school when you're different, when something's a little bit different and kids are so hard on themselves and so hard on each other when you're standing out, when as you get older, I think you just grow into having the maturity of realizing, hey, that's what's going to make me some money. That's what's going to make me sell is the fact that I don't look like everybody else. I don't talk like everybody else. My images don't look like everybody else. And I can capitalize on that. And that can be what makes that pushes me ahead and gives me the success that I want. So all of that is so very, very, very important.
Okay. I need a headshot apparently.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Got to do the headshot.
Because when I sent you one, it's like, I don't have a headshot. So I sent you my favorite image, but the image that I sent you only has me from here to here. And the reason why is because then you can see I have two different colored eyes.
Oh, interesting.
And that was what kept me on my path. Because when I, you know, you were just talking about kids in school.
Yeah.
Can be very cruel if you're different. Mm-hmm. And I had two different colored eyes. And I was teased pretty bad.
Yeah. But now, and how awesome is that?
But now it's great. So I kept trying to say to myself, you know, you have to stay on your path of being different, Joy. Mm-hmm. If you want to post differently to what the social media things recommend or what typical photographers have on their Instagram. If you want to do different, then do different and stand by it.
And absolutely.
So my eyes, that became a big thing for me is saying, you know, you got through that.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, of course, then I was thinking of people like Van Gogh and Picasso and saying, yes,
yeah,
I'm going to stay on my path.
So you have one blue and one green? Is that?
I have one blue and one brown.
One brown.
And the brown has blue in it as well.
Okay. Yeah, that's very.
So unique. When I take a photo of a husky, I do have a husky that is bi-eyed as well.
Okay, bi-eyed. I love it.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so great. Love you have that instant connection with that dog because your eyes are different. I love it so much.